Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is the Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Yeah. Eric, I feel like you and I are one step closer to being reunited in person.
That is true, because we are both well on our way to being fully vaccinated from the coronavirus.
I like how you had to. to make sure that that's what, you know, people knew we were getting vaccinated from, as opposed to, you know, cholera.
That other big pandemic. Yeah. Listen, if I need a cholera vaccine, hook me up. I'm fine. Like, whatever I need to do to get out of this situation, I'm gonna do it.
But how exciting is that? Like, we could potentially hang out soon.
I know, like within 6 feet of each other with, you know, no masks, so we can maybe like smooch a little bit. We have a lot of time to make up for.
Oh my God, you can meet Andrew. It's just all happening.
I know. It's all happening so fast. I almost don't even know how to plan what my life will look like after my Freedom Day, by the way, is a thing that I've heard, where it's 2 weeks after your second dose, or if you're getting, you know, the Johnson & Johnson, I guess it would be 2 weeks after that dose. But everyone is starting to identify their Freedom Day as, you know, I'm good, fully vaccinated, let's do this.
Oh, amazing.
What's the first thing you want to do when you see me?
I mean, definitely comment on a recent haircut that I'm sure you got. But
thank you.
And just see your face and like not on a screen. That was going to be such a great day.
Yes. We need to like have some rooftop drinks, some like delicious appetizers, because 'tis the season here in New York City where things start to warm up and people just come alive again.
I have to say, it's not that I didn't want it to end sooner or anything, but it's kind of nice that it's ending right before summer starts, because people in New York are already so much nicer and in such a good mood and happy when it gets warm. And so for the vaccines to also be on top of this is going to be epic, I think.
Yeah. And there's so much more to do in New York when the weather is nice. Like during the winter months, it's a little restricting, especially now. You can't even like go see a Broadway show or something. But once it's like outdoor dining and everything, oh, it's just a whole new world.
Whole new world. But before then, while we are still in our at-home recording,
wearing joggers,
we still have some fun things to talk about.
Yes, absolutely. We're covering Real Housewives of Atlanta today. We are still in New Orleans. There's a lot going on there. Real Housewives of New Jersey, we're still at the Jersey Shore. And Summer House, still in the Hamptons.
And we have an interview with Deandra Simmons from Real Housewives of Dallas.
Plus, we'll wrap up with Rose and Thorne.
Deandra is so nice. And I don't think that this is biased of me to say, but people from Texas are just nicer. You know, so many of our Bravo celebrities I have interviewed over the years, for many years, you know, each year they'll come by and I interview them. So we know each other. I don't for one second think that they're in a fun position where they see so many faces, it's so hard to keep up with. So it's not always like I will say, oh, hey, it's me, Megan. You know, I just sort of carry on with the interview.
Yeah.
And as I was like, I got on the phone and I'm just sort of like in my, you know, interview mode. And I'm like, all right, Deandra, we're going to get started. And she's like, wait, is this Megan? Hey, Megan, I'm so glad it's still you that's interviewing me.
Oh, my God.
It's just so nice, you know? And then at the end of the interview, she's like, well, wait, can I ask you some questions? Like, are you, you know, going to be at the reunion? It was just people from Texas are just nicer. And that's all that it is.
That's really sweet. I love Deandra. She is really nice. Like, you can just tell by the way she approaches things.
Okay, Atlanta.
Atlanta.
I'm just going to say, one more time for the people in the back, Portia does not have to disclose who she did or did not have sex with. I am sick of this being a thing, like that people are trying to bully it out of her.
Yeah, this is another one of those Sutton, let the mouse go.
Mm-hmm.
You've had your fun, now let the mouse go. That's where we're at with this whole situation. She doesn't owe anybody an explanation. Just move past it.
And for Marlo to act like you owe it to me as a friend to tell me. It's like, really, on camera, Marlo, you're putting her on the spot. So if she, let's say she is lying, that's pretty understandable. Right. There's a camera on her.
Do you think Marlo is a clout chaser? Now, this is something that Portia says during the after show, where she feels like Marlo has aligned herself with Kenya because, in theory, that she could get more story out of aligning herself with Kenya, because it kind of seems like Marlo is putting in a lot of work to get that peach that might just not be coming. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Do you think that she has made this choice to align with Kenya because she thought that she would then be a part of this larger storyline this season?
I mean, to me, that's the only explanation, because I otherwise don't understand her motive at all. At this big Frida dinner, I mean, Candy has been and is the voice of reason in all of this, where she is just like, Marlo, like, this isn't about you, you know? Stop. Relax.
This situation that we're talking about ain't got nothing to do with you.
I definitely feel like Marlo has put herself in the middle of this whole Kenya and Portia mess unnecessarily. Nobody asked her to be in this.
Absolutely. Where Marlo really lost me was trying to bring Big Frida into it. Like, what are you talking about? She went on this monologue that I was even having trouble following. So I don't blame.
I know, right?
I was like, what is she saying? So I was like, Big Frida's obviously not going to participate in this drama, because I don't think that's what Big Frida signed up for. She was like, I'm going to show up with these girls, teach them how to do some really delicious, Southern cooking. And she didn't anticipate having to be a part of this situation. And I feel really bad for the rest of the women, because it was kind of embarrassing the way it all played out.
Why are you dragging Frida into any of that?
Okay, so let's be Frida.
That's not fair.
You two had a conversation. That's nasty. You're running around saying that she...
So nobody's running around saying anything. I'm telling the truth. So if anybody want
to
see her lie...
She's saying she's telling the truth. Are you going
to
address
her? I no longer have anything else to say. I no longer have anything else to say.
Okay. Yeah, because, I mean, to have Big Frida at the end be like, guys, can you just keep it cute and classy? Like, please. Like, you're, representing, just please keep it cute. Don't do this. And also, the part that killed me is, so Marlo is telling this whole story, like, talking in pronouns, this, they, her, who are you talking about, Marlo? Like, and then for Portia to be like, okay, well, you're talking about me. And then Marlo goes, well, damn, I wasn't going to throw you under the bus. It's like, Marlo, everyone knows who you're talking. Sure, Big Frida did it, but like everyone else at this table does.
Well, and it was also just a few hours after she had already had most of this conversation with Portia. So why is it coming up again?
Oh my God. I know we're jumping ahead, but then next on, we got so much information in that next on. And so the fact that all of this time that Marlo's in pain and the back and blah, 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 it's because she had lipo, allegedly? Wow.
I believe it. I believe it, personally.
I did too, because she had said it before in an episode that she was going to get it. But it's just interesting.
Yeah, how was your back?
My back is okay. I have a brace on now.
How are you calling us fake bitches, but you literally just lied about getting lipo? And we know you got the holes to show it.
Somebody that used the same doctor said that you got lipo like a couple days before the trip.
But why would you do that in the middle of filming, right ahead of a cast trip? Like, I feel like you should be out of commission.
And then call out Portia for not being honest.
Right. I'm telling you, she's putting in a lot of work to get that peach, and I don't think it's coming.
You know, as much as, like, I really have respected Candy during all of this, the one point where I was like, no, was when Candy is in the hotel room with Marlo, and she goes, have I known Portia to lie in the past? Yes. And it was like, no, Candy, let's not go back there. And let's not equate Portia's wrongdoings in the past to now, you know?
Well, yeah.
I liked it better when Candy was just like, it's none of our business, or like, we shouldn't be talking about it.
Right, yeah, no, I understand where Candy was coming from, because I think even with the after show, like, LaToya brought up what Portia did to her in the past and was trying to be like, you hold the key here, Candy. You can be the one to say whether you heard the noises or didn't hear the noises. Like, Candy is in a position where she could almost confirm or deny whatever might have happened.
Yeah.
And so I understand her trying to be like, look, I know what Portia has done. I know for sure more than anyone that she has lied. But that is completely different than what happened in this situation. Because
right.
Candy understands it to be cameras were down. Sure, we were on a cast trip. Yes, everybody's going to talk about things that happened. But it seemed to be this dungeon code, this girl code, this like Real Housewives of Atlanta cast code.
Yeah.
Cameras are down. We're not going to talk about what happened when cameras were down.
Do you think there's also part of it is Candy a little bit protecting her brand in that when people do go to these dungeon nights, it's supposed to be very what happens in the dungeon stays in the dungeon. And so she's trying to, you know, communicate to people that no matter what, like you can do. You know, not that they're doing that, but I don't know. It sort of does seem on brand for her to keep it quiet.
No, absolutely. I mean, I think that's a really good point because Candy is always about her business, right? She's always about her money. And the dungeon show came out of this drama and this really negative thing that happened to her, like a phoenix rising from the ashes. You know what I mean? So now mm-hmm. that she's had so much success with it and brought it to this incredible place, she doesn't want this to probably tarnish the reputation that she's been able to build from something that happened that was really negative. You know what I mean?
Right.
So yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense, actually. I will just say that, you know, Drew, as a first season housewife, I think she has shown up in every way a first season housewife should.
Yes.
And, you know, right from the get-go, she opened up her marriage. Yep. To the cameras and everything that happened with Ralph and him running away to Florida. Like, right from the get-go, Drew was like, this is my life. Here it is. It's not perfect, but I'm going to share it with all of you. And then planning this epic trip, putting together this big Frida dinner, like hooking up something like that is incredible. Like, that is what you have to do to secure a peach.
No, I agree. I think she has really gone down and like, in Hall of Fame of first seasons.
Yeah.
You know, especially with the Ralph stuff. That really got me from the jump with her because I felt like, wow, to really put yourself out there so quickly, that's a lot.
Yeah. And she's not afraid to speak her mind, go head to head with the Kenyas of this cast or LaToya, the Kenyas of this cast. With Kenya is really what I should say. But you know what I mean? Like, she hasn't been afraid to speak up when she feels disrespected or when she feels like somebody's being rude or somebody's being fake. So she's doing everything that we want her to do.
Right.
Fun fact also, you know that Big Frida, it's a sample of her vocals over the beginning of Beyoncé's Formation.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. That's great. That is a fun fact. Usually when people say they have a fun fact, it's not very fun. That's a fun fact.
My fun facts are always fun. Also, wait, can we talk about just like the lame ending to this trip?
Oh
like,
my God. So anticlimactic. I mean, it was just like, wah, wah, power's out. We got to go.
Right. There was barely any time for them to put together like some kind of finale package. It was just sort of like, well, Portia left. Candy left too. The power's out now, so we're just gonna like,
here's the credits.
We're just gonna cut and then everyone's back in Atlanta. It's over.
Yeah.
I will say, I need to get to Atlanta at some point. It's one of those cities that I've always wanted to visit in
Same.
The US and I haven't been to.
Yeah.
One of my first destinations will probably be Blaze Steakhouse because that place looks great.
It does. The fire pit, I'm into it.
Yeah.
Plus, you know how active Candy is in actually going to her businesses, you know?
Right.
So.
Well, if I don't see Candy, at least let me see Mama Joyce.
Right.
I want her to shade me in real life.
Jersey?
Joyzy. Okay, I will just say this about New Jersey and about two of the women on the show. Margaret needs to just steer clear of the stay-at-home mom thing, and Jen needs to leave the boss thing alone.
Absolutely. Like, I definitely felt the exact same way. I was like, just like Jennifer was so wrong to bring up the boss thing, Margaret is so wrong to bring up the stay-at-home thing. Like, that is ridiculous. First of all, for you to feel that way is a little ridiculous. Like, you know, you should know better. But secondly, you know how many people are watching this show probably are stay-at-home moms. What are you thinking?
I mean, Jennifer is ridiculous and she says ridiculous things, but her circumstances are something that you can't really use against her because it's going to offend more than just Jennifer.
Yeah.
So you just have to kind of have that foresight before you throw out some of these insults. And then, you know, on the flip side, Jen needs to recognize, we've mentioned this multiple times on the show already, the dangers of trying to use what happened to Margaret against her when she was younger.
They're both just being really bad feminists right now, is how I feel about
it. Right. Yes. They just, like, they see red when they start talking to each other, and then it just, like, gets out of control.
And speaking of feminism, I mean, this whole episode was just kind of about that with the whole Joe Gorga and Melissa thing.
Yeah.
I want to know what happened earlier in the night before that crazy dinner. I mean, the dinner wasn't crazy, but the aftermath was that Joe was and Melissa were, like, so testy with each other. Because even during the dinner, it's kind of like that thing where you see couples and they're like, we're joking. And it's like, are you? Are you joking? You know, and it gets a little bit awkward. And then it just really escalated once they were in the van.
Out of nowhere.
So that I'm like, did something happen right before they left for dinner, you know, that's carrying over?
I don't think so. I honestly think that Joe might have had a lot to drink. And for whatever reason, her walking in front of him, it wasn't the literal act that upset him, I think. It was the symbolism of it. It was like a metaphor for where their relationship is right now. Like, his insecurities, I think, are just showing in this moment. And he just feels like she's moving on without him in some ways.
But even before that, which I totally agree with what you're saying, even before that, he was like, Melissa is a flirt. That prank that you guys pulled in Lake George, like, clearly there was, it had to have some kind of life to it.
Buy us a drink. What's your name?
See, look. What she did in Lake George. She's a flirt.
It's like, what?
Right.
We're back to that, which was a joke, you know, that your sister orchestrated, but, like, he's a little bit fixated on it.
Yeah, because now he has a glimpse of how he would feel if it were true. And I think the, you know, I'm a man, that kind of presentation, like, it's going to eat away at him, you know, because I think he does have probably more insecurities than he likes to present, because he does put on this sort of tough guy. I'm a man. If I took a shot for every time I heard him say, well, we're men, I'm a man during the after show, I would have been wasted in the first 45 minutes. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So I don't relate to that, but I understand that, because I feel like we all know a lot of guys like Joe Gorga. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It also, the whole thing reminded me of last season, what we saw between Ray and Karen on Real Housewives of Potomac, where Ray was feeling like, at this point in our lives, like, Karen has been my wife. She's been the mother of my kids. She's been home. And now Karen is on this path. She's on this trajectory where she is famous. She's recognized. She has businesses. She has appearances that she's going to. She's living a whole other life outside of what they shared together. And I think that's exactly what Melissa is doing. And Joe is feeling a little bit left behind in all of it.
Yeah. I have to say, I'm sort of fascinated. It comes up for me a bit in watching, you know, in quarantine, I've been watching a lot of The Bachelor because I never watched it before. So I'm watching, like, I'm binging all of these seasons of it. And it is disturbing to me how some men, they thrive on a woman who has maybe low self-esteem. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that's the case here exactly, but it's like people like Ray and Joe Gorga liked their wives when they didn't have a lot going on and when their whole lives revolved around them. And then it's like, as they start to come into their own, gain any sort of independence, which does lead to self-worth, I think, you know, like feelings of self-worth, then they're just not as attractive to them. And that's a problem for me.
Yeah.
That's kind of a gross thing.
Well, it's an interesting observation because it's very similar to what Melissa was explaining to the women once they got back and she was having a conversation with them about, you know, why I married Joe when I was 24. And when he used to say, like, stand over here, do this, like, do that, he would kind of tell her what to do. And at that age, as, you know, a young woman and finding this man that she fell in love with, she kind of felt safe and protected in that experience of him being the one in charge, in control, taking care of her, and probably along the way lost her independence in a lot of ways and has now rediscovered it through the show. And now they're trying to figure out how that works in their relationship.
And I mean, the thing is, it's so unrealistic for you to expect someone to be the same way at, you know, 40 as they were when they were 24. I mean, that's not a good sign if someone hasn't changed and grown. And so it's just, I mean, come on, like, that's what marriage is. Like, two people aren't going to stay the same. And, you know, that's why sometimes it is best to call it, because, like, you know, you're not the same people that you were when you got together. Or he needs to give a little and like appreciate the new Melissa and like the parts of her that have changed.
Right.
Like, doesn't he want his daughter to learn from like the new Melissa? But maybe he doesn't. I don't know.
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think so. Well, the other thing too is Joe Gorga is probably just as famous as Melissa. You know, he is basically the seventh housewife on this show. So for him to watch Melissa's career accelerate or whatever it may be, you know, he's not too far behind her in terms of the attention and the recognition.
Right.
You remember during our live show at BravoCon?
Yeah, I was just thinking about
that. Right? Like, the crowd went nuts when he came out. Like, Melissa was our guest and, like, he came out and gave a wave and they went wild.
She kind of encouraged, like, oh, let him come out, you know?
Right. Well, I guess that goes to show. She was saying, you know, you're spoiled. You're so spoiled. Like, for her, maybe for her, even in that moment in our show at BravoCon, realizing that, like, the attention wasn't just for her, there was also some for him. That might be a little bit of, you know, the struggle they've had in their relationship, this sort of balance of both of them coming up and going through something similar, but also having their own separate experiences. I don't know.
Right.
Well, then, you know, talking about the prank that happened earlier on when they got Joe, you know, convincing him that Melissa was talking to some guy, they try to get back at Melissa with this whole realtor Giselle thing. So what did you think about this retaliation?
Oh, he's in trouble.
Melissa, what's going on?
You're not punking me.
Wait, what?
Just FYI.
What is she talking about?
You're not punking me. My husband's not cheating on me, and you're all trying to make me believe he is.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. The cat's out of the bag. The women know nothing about it.
I told that idiot. I go, there's no way you're going to pull one up on your wife.
I felt like, of course it wouldn't work because women have a sixth sense. So it's like, if Joe were really cheating, she would have had a feeling a while ago and would have already been going through his shit, is how I feel about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the fact that he was suddenly acting weird, like, it just was like, okay, I know what you're doing. I see through you exactly.
Right. I thought it was well orchestrated in terms of, like, the guys planning and coordinating and updating, you know, the contact info so that it would read Realtor Giselle and not Frank Catania. But I think, like you mentioned, that sixth sense, that female intuition, very quickly saw through what was going on.
Especially because they've both said that they're sort of jealous people.
Right,
you know what
right.
I mean? So it's not like if she really thought there was someone to be jealous of, like, she would have already sussed that out.
Yeah. I have another fun fact for you.
Oh, okay.
Frank Catania is still listed as Realtor Giselle in Joe's phone.
That is another fun fact.
Right? So anytime Frank texts or calls Joe, it still comes up that way.
That's so funny.
Well, I kind of forgot by the time we got to the event that everyone was down the shore because of Nono's celebration of life. Like, it wasn't actually just a shore trip. There was so much drama. I got distracted by all of it and kind of forgot that that's what they were really down there for. But, you know, watching Teresa in her confessionals, watching Gia give her speech at the celebration of life, like, really hit home for me in a way that I didn't expect, but, you know, I lost my grandmother in January, and especially hearing Gia's speech being the first grandchild, which I was for my grandma, and just talking about, you know, how full of life he was and being her best friend and all of that stuff, I was like, wow, I never felt like I related to Gia in a lot of instances, but this was one of those moments where I was like, oh my God, I know exactly how she must feel, you know? So having that kind of empathy, you know, felt really strong and powerful for me in that moment. And then seeing Teresa talk about losing her dad is a lot of what, you know, I've been talking to my mom about in the last couple of months, and what it's like to move forward on this planet without your parents anymore, and what that experience is like. And again, it reminds me of Karen and what she was going through on Potomac in the last couple of years. So it was a pretty emotional episode by the end for me.
Georgina Togorga, where to even begin? He was an amazing father, devoted husband, and grandfather. His smile lit up every room he walked into. Thank you for being the glue and always having us stick together. As your first granddaughter, I just want to say thank you so much for being my best friend.
I'll do it for your father. Hey, your grandpa.
It's okay.
You just always make me cry. No, no, I love you.
I cry inside.
He really was my best friend. Thank you for being the rock of this family and showing us we can overcome anything because we are strong. Now we will celebrate you and remember you every day for the rest of our lives. Rest easy. And tell Nana we all say hi, and we love you both with all our hearts. May you two rest in peace together. Semper and Zami, we love you.
Right. I do. I definitely cried a little. I, you know, who knows if it's the PMS or just the movingness of, but, you know, I definitely found myself a little bit emotional over it.
Well, it's also just as a viewer and as a fan of the show, Nana's been around for all of us for so many years now, and there is a sense of loss even for us just knowing him as a person on the show.
Yeah, for sure.
Sad.
It's like when Jiggy died. Ugh.
Oh, God. Yeah, that was a tough one.
So this week I had a chance to speak to Real Housewives of Dallas, Deandra Simmons, because this has been a hard season for her and I wanted to get her take on everything. And if she saw some of these feuds coming or if it was completely blindsided by it. I also got all the info I possibly could about the upcoming reunion. So here's that interview.
2021 is looking up, which means there should be plenty of new opportunities for you to grow your business. Whether you're shifting business hours or hiring more remote employees, one thing that remains unchanged is the importance of having the right people on your team. When you're ready to make that next hire, LinkedIn Jobs can help by matching your role with qualified candidates so that you can find the right person quickly. And to lend a helping hand, your first job post is free. LinkedIn is an active community of professionals with more than 30 million members in the UK. And now you can do this all from your mobile device, no matter where the day takes you. That's how LinkedIn Jobs can help you hire the right person faster. When your business is ready to make that next hire, find the right person with LinkedIn Jobs. And now you can post a job for free. Just visit linkedin.com/reach. Again, that's linkedin.com/reach to post a job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
So, Deandra, hi. It's been a while. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this interview. What a season it has been so far.
Yes, it has been. It's been a lot for me, honestly. I mean, it's, you know, you think you get a breather for 5 minutes and then it's, you know, back to drama again for me. I'm always involved in something.
You've been in the hot seat a bit this season. Did you feel that was coming? You know, right before filming started, did you have a feeling that there would be so much tension, or did it sort of come out of nowhere for you?
It came completely out of nowhere and blindsided me. I thought, oh, this season's going to be so easy.
Yeah.
It's going to be totally different because we have new people, we have a new person, and it's just, you know, a freer feeling. And oh, God, oh boy, was I wrong.
My God. I mean, I guess you must have felt something bubbling with Carrie because you guys were doing your sort of joint venture together before filming, right?
We were traveling together with trunk shows and doing that. But other than that, I never, besides the fact that she didn't like the way I packed the car and didn't like the way I displayed my products, I had no idea that she had any issues with me. So that really came out of the blue. I was in complete shock because that's not the relationship that I thought we had. And, you know, Megan, I am not a phone talker. I mean, I've never been a phone talker my whole life. If you want to hang out with me, my girlfriends that I've had, by the way, since I was 12, you know, they live down the street. They're both divorced and one lives 1 mile and one lives three blocks. They just come to my house and jump, you know, come in the door and get a drink and sit in the backyard by the pool.
Yeah.
And I told Carrie, she knew that. She's like, well, you're always inviting these other people. I said, I don't invite them. I said, they're my friends. They just come over. They don't have to ask for an invitation. I'm not formal like that. I said, you know, I've known these people. They're like my sisters. And so for me to think, to hear that she thought I was selfish and that I wasn't a good friend, because that's not how my friends would describe me at all. Most of my friends, besides the ones I have from junior high and high school, I've had for 30 plus years, and we still are on a group text. We text all the time. We're always in touch with the families, what we're doing. And so it just was, you know, I did not see that coming. I was blindsided.
Well, you know, I was just talking about this with someone yesterday, how it's kind of an uncomfortable thing when someone tells you that you're their best friend, but you realize they're not yours. You know, do you think that maybe that's a little bit happening with Carrie, where maybe she has a stronger feeling of friendship for you than you do for her?
I think Carrie has different expectations from friendship than I do. Mm. And I think sometimes people miscommunicate because expectations and outcomes aren't met. And that's a lot of what my story is this year with regards to Darren, about outcomes and not expecting things from people. Because when you start expecting people to behave a certain way, you're going to be disappointed. And I think Carrie wants me to fit into her mold of what a friend is, but it's never going to work because I'm not going to be that friend that she wants me to be, because the way I do friendship is not the way she does friendship, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't, you know, Stephanie kept saying, well, she wants to be closer. She wants to be closer. And I told her, you know, if you want to be close to me, like I told you, you come to my house, you sit by my pool with me, you cook with me, you hang out. The door's always open. I remember distinctly, Megan, one night or one afternoon. So every weekend in my house, it's always a pool weekend. Okay. So everybody's here and I cook, and Sundays I make like a family meal for anybody that comes over. So it's like, you know, Sunday gravy, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But so Saturdays we all sit by the pool, we have drinks, we float in the pool. It's just a blast as soon as it, you know, becomes really nice here. And one day I had half my friends are gay men. And then the other half are my friends I've known forever, you know? So they're always here. So I had told her about it. Well, one of the friends was over here and she's like, well, he was talking to her and she goes, well, Deandra didn't invite me. He goes, Carrie, Deandra invited you the other day. She goes, well, I need a special invitation, a phone call. Mm. And I thought, it's getting to be ridiculous. I mean, it's one of those things where people say to you, well, if you will just do this one thing, then I will be satisfied. And then the next thing comes. It's like an obstacle course. Then the next thing comes. And that happened with me and with regards to Leanne. She kept putting, you know, new stipulations on the friendship. And at one point, I'm just throwing my hands up. I'm done. Because, you know, I'm not a trained, you know, circus animal, you know, not who I am. I mean, you have to let people be who they are and love them for who they are and not try to make them into what you want them to be.
Well, you know, I do wonder, since you brought up Leanne, do you guys talk at all?
No, we do not. No. People ask me that on a lot of interviews. And I just used her as an example of, you know, a friendship that went awry and the reason. But no, we do not talk. I don't see her. I don't actually, to be honest with you, Megan, I'm not a real social person like I used to be. I really enjoy my home and my husband and my friends coming over. So I don't go to a lot of bars. I don't go to a lot of things out. I may go to dinners every once in a while, but I just don't, I'm just not as social and on the scene. I just don't care about stuff like that.
I get it. So it's not necessarily that the door is shut forever, right? It's just a circumstance has kind of kept you guys apart.
I would say for me, the door is shut forever.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I don't have any interest in going back to that friendship relationship because I was abused and bullied so much. And I think I've told this before that I don't think I can forgive, but I can't ever go back to somebody that abused me constantly for 3 years and bullied me. And almost, I mean, I was almost in a mental institution because she was so horrible to me. Mm. So I just, it was really, really taxing. And when you're sitting on the floor in a puddle of tears every day because somebody is so hurtful and mean and makes, you know, lies about you, makes up lies about you, it's just, it's too, you can't go back from that. That's, you know, you just can't. There's a part of, I mean, you know, you say you have to forgive people. I can forgive, but you don't forget, as far as you don't go back into an abusive relationship. And that's what that was. That was an abusive relationship.
You know, I know you guys are getting ready to film the reunion. And, you know, I was there for last mm-hmm. season's reunion, and that was just so insane. So are you feeling like it's going to be better this time, or like more calm, or are you more nervous about it this time, given like what's happened during the season thus far?
I think it's going to be, I'm nervous. I have a lot of probably people that are going to want to talk to me about things. Whereas last year, I really wasn't in the hot seat.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm probably going to be in a hot seat this year to answer, not because I've had bad behavior, but everybody's pretty upset with me for whatever reason they have to be upset with me. So I'm sure I'm going to have to answer a lot about that. And then, of course, Tiffany is my friend, and a lot of people have not resonated with her. So I will be there to support her because she's never had a reunion. And I know what it's like the first time. It's scary.
Yeah. On the flip side, though, I feel like fans have really taken to Tiffany. Do you feel a certain amount of pride, you know, bringing her onto the show?
I do. I am so excited that fans do love her and resonate with her and just feel like her story is so interesting. I mean, I didn't know all about her. I knew she came from China, obviously, but I didn't know the details of growing up with a tiger mom and her expectations. And I remember one of the episodes, she said, "Did you ever feel like you were, you know, a paycheck or a, you know, a..."
Yeah.
I was like, "No, sorry, don't. My parents didn't think that much of me." Had no aspirations of that happening.
Well, you know, one of my favorite topics is Mama D.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that I was more endeared to her, actually. You know, maybe it's the Capricorn in me, but the telling of how she met your stepfather mm-hmm. and how she sort of, you know, like stalked him in the papers and then went to like find it. Like, I mean, very much took like a business approach to the relationship. You must have heard that story before.
Oh my gosh, have I heard that story before? Yes, I've heard that story my whole life. I am not a big fan of that story, to be honest. I mean, I'll just be, and I told her that. I do not like that story. I don't think it makes you look good. I don't think there's anything positive about it because you know, it looks like, okay, I found this guy in the paper. He was good looking. He had money. And then I went for it. I don't like that story. So that's how I feel about it. She feels differently, but you got to think about her generation.
Yeah.
And about old school, growing up poor, like dirt poor, and thinking, you know, how do I get out of this situation I'm in? And my mother was by no means a scholar. We are very different like that. I was a straight A student. I loved studying. I loved learning. She hated it. So she knew, like she said, you know, she was attractive and she modeled and she did beauty contests and she knew, okay, this is my way out of this poverty lifestyle. When I'm talking poverty, my grandparents were dirt poor. So, I mean, I think that you can't really fault her because she didn't know any better. And like I said, she wasn't, you know, a baby genius like Tiffany. So, I mean, but she did have street smarts and common sense. So if you think about somebody that was street smarts and common sense and wanting to dig their way out of poverty that they're in, it makes a lot of sense now.
Yeah.
But
well, I feel
like the story could have been a little bit different.
Well, I hope this isn't too invasive and feel free to stop me, but I am just curious, okay, because just how your whole family dynamic. So mm-hmm. how old were you when she met your stepfather?
I believe I was 4 because my parents got divorced when I was 4. And
okay, got it.
My father was very well to do, but he was not well to do quite yet. My father was an engineer.
Ah.
My grandfather was very wealthy in the oil business, but they had not, you know, relinquished that trust and that inheritance to my father at the time. So they lived modestly. They didn't want for anything. She certainly didn't live like when she grew up. But my mother had a job as a, she was a receptionist in a dental hygienist office. Then she was the office manager. She worked there for 18 years.
Wow.
And that's where she met my stepfather.
Got it.
So, but they were, my dad, Megan, was an alcoholic. There were problems in their marriage. You know, it was on the rocks anyway when she met Glenn. So I just think that, you know, Glenn was a completely different person. He was very exciting, compassionate, very, you know, he had this really interesting lifestyle. Back then he was this huge poker player, which was probably fun, and made, a lot more money playing poker than he did on his business.
Wow.
So they were going to like Vegas on the weekends, and he was, you know, making $250,000 a night. And
wow.
Shopping. That's why I was so spoiled, because they would go to Neiman Marcus every Friday. We would go to Neiman Marcus with a car, and that's when they have the big cars, you know. And we would fill the back seat and the back of the trunk with anything we wanted to buy.
Wow!
And because he made so much money playing poker that's what we were able to do. Isn't that crazy?
That's amazing. I mean, it also explains a lot, you know, because it's always when Mama D like says that you're spoiled, you know, it's like, well, you know, she wasn't born that way, I'm sure.
No, I wasn't that way. My mother kind of, whenever she met Glenn, I mean, my grandparents spoiled me, but not in the way that she did. I mean, when she met Glenn and they were spending all that money, and I had 75 pairs of shoes when I was 5, that's expensive, yeah. Okay? Because you're going to grow out of those shoes, you know? And I mean, there's other things about my mother that I don't think she's ever shared. I mean, she worked for Jack Ruby. She was like one of his, you know, girls. And she was a nightclub door bouncer. I don't know if you've ever heard that story. If you actually,
she was a bouncer?
Yes. Oh, yes. She met my biological father, was the bouncer at the door of the nightclub called the Music Box. And if you actually watch the movie called Ruby about Jack Ruby, you will see her at the door as the bouncer.
My God. Who could she have bounced? She's a little lady.
But she was tough.
Yeah.
You know, she didn't put up with any crap. And she also was taking cash at the door. So however much cash you had is where you got to sit. And that's when it was a supper club, you know, and they had bands and dancing and great food. And I can actually show you in Dallas where there's a nightclub there where it was. But it was called the Music Box. If you ever want to check it out, go watch the movie Ruby. And you can see my mother standing at the front door.
That is amazing.
So she was involved with a lot of shady characters in order to get to my stepfather.
Yeah. You know, I know that right now we're sort of following your journey, trying to reconnect with your brother and your stepmom. Do you think the show is a little bit of a hindrance for them? Or do you think?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, 100% that was an issue, because because you've known me for 4 years, I mean, I'm extremely transparent. I wear my heart on my sleeve. Mm-hmm. I tell it like it is. I hide nothing from the Bravo audience. I mean, that's a good and bad thing. It's great for what we're doing here and for this show, but it's, you know, my husband always says, do you have to tell everything? My mother says the same thing, but I'm just, what you see is what you get. So with that particular endeavor, trying to reach out to them, I was honest. I went through the whole thing. You're going to see the tears, the pain, the hurt. You've seen some of it already. They are not fans of reality TV. They're not fans of me telling the story. They did not like it at all. You know, so unfortunately, I don't know if it would be different if I wasn't on reality TV. I really don't know the answer. I mean, I'm thinking it probably would be, but
yeah,
you know, everybody, you can always thank everyone. When you are trying to rekindle a relationship and you are on a reality TV show, they're always going to have a red flag and be suspect of, is this real, or is this for a story, or is this for TV? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember, I think it's Tamara had some problems with her daughter and because of it, you know?
Yes.
So you just kind of have to know that, but people just, hopefully people know your heart and your intentions, and my intentions and my heart were pure, but a lot of time has passed and people think differently and about how much they want exposed of their life. Cause not everybody is made for reality TV.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, I agree with you. I think that you really put it out there, and that's such a great thing for someone like me, who's a viewer, because I don't feel like you're hiding. And I know in our other franchises, that sometimes is a point of contention amongst housewives? Like if someone feels like, well, I'm sharing everything and this person isn't sharing enough. Mm-hmm. Do you ever feel those frustrations with your fellow housewives?
Yes, 100%. I feel like I give so much of my life, what's happening, good, bad, ugly. I mean, obviously that minute with Mama D when I had the fight was embarrassing and humiliating and inappropriate to say the least. I should never have said those things to my mother. And that was there and it wasn't going away. And it's not like I could call them and say, hey, take this away. I don't want that shown. It's just, it is what it is. And you just got to swallow hard and realize, you know, this is what I signed up for. And I've never been a person to say, oh, please don't show that. Please don't do this. Please don't do that. That's just not who I am. I just roll with it. But yeah, I do wish other people were a little bit more, I guess the word is transparent and forthright and open to sharing real issues in their lives. And instead of things that are cute and, you know, safe. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people play on the safe side. I've never played the safe side. I've always played the risky side because I think it's much more rewarding and it's much more fruitful and much more, you know, people that do resonate with my story, they appreciate them telling the whole thing because then they don't call me, they direct message me. How do I navigate this with my mother? How do I do this? How do I do that? I get very serious questions, you know? which I think is good because that's the point of it. I mean, if you're going to sign up for this, you bet as well put it out there and then be able to help people. So my direct messages are probably different than other people's.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, I also want to know how business is doing, you know, how is that and how has it been since Mama D has stepped back?
Business is doing absolutely phenomenal. I'm very excited. We have kind of gone a different route, Megan. We were contacted by a bunch of spas. And so I went and trained them and we're launching in... There's 3 locations in Dallas, but 250 locations nationwide.
Wow.
So we're doing the pilot program here. And then I completely foresee taking my business away from kind of the model we had before and selling into these spas and being their natural kind of skincare line that they use and they sell. So I'm probably going into back bar, which is a whole different, you know, thing. It's where you make the products for the back of the spa and they use them on their clients. And then I've also with my nutrition company have really been selling to a lot of naturopaths and chiropractors and holistic doctors, and they're placing big orders. And I'm once again going, explaining the product lines. And so I'm very excited about that. And I mean, it's just exciting that my podcast is doing well. I don't give a rip. So that's fun. We get to do some comedy stuff on that. So business is just, I anticipate business this year to be amazing.
That's so great.
Yeah, I mean, I can finally say I can breathe. I don't have to worry. I didn't have one time during the pandemic where I couldn't pay someone except for myself, which was okay. But I kept everybody paid, everybody employed. I'm hoping to start back again. Oh, we just started a new 401k program for the employees. I'm hoping to get back to get insurance for the employees, all the things that I want to provide as a business owner, which makes me really proud that I can do that for my employees.
Absolutely. Well, I know that I need to let you go, but I am really looking forward to hearing everything that happens at the reunion and eventually seeing it. So good luck.
Well, you won't be there, right? Or you're not going to
No, I can't go and I'm so upset. It's the first one I'm missing.
Yeah, I know, because you always come and do our behind the scenes stuff.
I know. So we're giving production questions on my behalf. So I will miss seeing you guys, but hopefully, you know, this is the last reunion I'll miss.
Well, I hope so too. Hey, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy seeing Darren on the show and working with him?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes. It's so, I mean, honestly though, I did get such a kick out of Stephanie saying that he was her hairdresser. That was so funny to me. Like it's, you know, I don't think it takes away from what he does, but it's hilarious, that connection.
Well, I want you to go. We did a little interview yesterday with The Dip that was arranged by Bravo, and it was really good because he was clear on explaining every single aspect of what he does and how he does it. And I thought it was just so insightful. So I was glad that he got that opportunity. So,
yeah. I'm glad you brought him into our lives.
Well, I look forward to seeing you in person, hopefully in the future.
And I know.
Thank you for today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you. Summer House.
Okay. Summer House. Well, there's a lot going on suddenly on Summer House. Mm-hmm. Where do we begin? Let's begin with Stravi making his return.
Is it wrong? I just don't care. I mean, I don't care either way. Like, I know that everyone in the house has a lot of opinions about it. Like, the girls are like, I would never take him back. Like, I still don't even understand what he did that was wrong, except that he works a lot, which I find attractive in a person.
Right.
So I'm not really getting it to begin with. But then also, like, get together or don't. I don't know. I'm not invested in them as a couple, to be honest.
Well, I'm not sure that Lindsay is invested in him as a person to be in a relationship with. I think she's more invested in this timeline that she's created, right? Mm. This set of expectations that she's put out there. So, you know, he shows up with this grand romantic gesture, which was what she was looking for her birthday a few weeks before. She didn't get it, and now he's done this. So is she just trying to convince herself, like, oh, okay, maybe this could be fine? Because she's hesitant at first, and she doesn't really want to kiss him, and she's not willing to fully commit to be back in a relationship with him, which I understand, because one grand romantic gesture, you know, recreating the scene from Say Anything, doesn't necessarily mean that everything is perfectly fine. But I don't know if she's willing to be with him as a partner as much as she just wants to get married, have kids, and enter this next phase of her life.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's hard. It's so hard being a woman. Can I just say, like, because you really do have this timeline you're working against. And like, yes, you're supposed to wait for like the right person, but try explaining that to biology, you know?
Right. Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, we were talking about that over Easter weekend with Danny's family, like just how weird it is to think, like, when, you know, you're born as a woman, like you have
a certain amount of eggs,
all of the eggs, yep, you'll ever have for your whole life. Like, my brain can't even comprehend.
I know. Well, and the thing that blows my mind is that, so my mom basically will give birth to my grandchildren also, or to her grandchildren, my children, because when she was pregnant with me, all my eggs were in there.
Oh my God.
Weird, right?
That's so weird.
Was it just because Easter has to do with eggs and that's how you guys got on the topic?
It was something about, yes, it was during an Easter egg hunt. It was something about like... It was something about like, oh, well, I used to be.
And some sassy woman at the table was like, I wish someone would hunt my eggs.
No, it was like his brother was like, oh, imagine like I used to be one of your eggs or something. Like there was some kind of play on words.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we were talking about like his Danny's niece, Emily, she's 5. And it was just like, we were like, it's so weird to think that like that she has the most she'll have ever right now as like a 5-year-old.
Right. You know,
it's just, like you said, biology, the human body is just like a weird, crazy, crazy thing.
Yeah. I will say the one thing that really annoyed me about all of this is how Amanda was upset because it was on her anniversary. And it's like, Amanda, it's not a real anniversary. Just because you got proposed to on this day, you know what I mean? It's like,
right.
I hate people who make everything into an, like some sort of important day that everyone should pay attention to.
I'm feeling a little bit selfish, and I don't think she would have loved if you did a grand gesture on her anniversary.
Right. You can't have them all. Well, that's my question then for you. As someone who was married, like, uh-huh, when you were just dating Aaron to begin with, did you pick, like, what was your first anniversary? Was it the first date you guys had? Was it the first kiss? First time you had sex? Like, what was the first anniversary until you were engaged? Because once you're married, your anniversary is considered, yeah, your wedding day, right? But like, what were the stages before that?
Yeah, the anniversary was the day he like asked me to be his girlfriend.
Okay, that was the day you picked.
Yes. And okay, but even when we got engaged and all that, it was never like a, and on this day we got engaged. Like, I know some people will probably remember it, and that's significant to them, but not in a way that's like, how dare you on this day, you know?
Yeah. Well, not in a way that needs to be recognized by others. Like, you can note it in your relationship.
Exactly.
Like, oh, today's 1 year since we've been engaged, or 2 years, or whatever it is. But it doesn't have to be like a group celebration,
right,
around it. Yeah, I feel that. Also, I'm sorry, Amanda, but Lindsay's birthday was pretty overshadowed by the fact that Carl lost his brother that day.
Yeah, so
let her have this moment for now.
Do you think, though, that Lindsay at any point thought he was about to propose? Because that looks like a proposal, the setup. Not a, can I move back in, you know?
Right. I don't know. she might have had that thought. I would imagine in Lindsay's mind, which to me is just like a roller coaster, like amusement park at all times. I feel like there was one ride, there was one loop of that Ferris wheel that was like, oh my God, is he going to propose? It seemed like she wasn't in a position where she was going to say yes to a proposal because she barely said yes to them reconnecting and coming back together. She was like, let's start with a date. And it's like, okay, well, how do you start with a date if he's brought all of his bags back and he's planning to move back into the house? Like, you guys are back together.
I just think that we're all losing sight of the fact that she tried to do something nice on her birthday. And I get that it wasn't what she thought. But, like, you're the one who put expectations on it. And that's not how you receive a gift or a surprise. It's not like, well, it should have been this. It's a thank you for doing this, you know?
Did Stravi's grand romantic gesture remind you of when you walked in and Andrew had bought you that couch that you wanted?
The couch was better, to be honest.
Than all those little, like, switch candles. Hell no. Okay, well, obviously, I want to talk about Dez and Hannah because there's so much to discuss there. But before we do, I want to know about your take on Paige and Perry, because for me, their relationship has never quite added up. Mm-hmm. And I understand how Paige must be feeling this summer with him keeping his distance and not really wanting to be involved. It sounds more so that he just doesn't want to be on the show than it's like, I don't want to hang out with your friends, which you kind of have to respect that decision just as much as he has to kind of respect her decision to be on the show. But I mean, last summer when she first met him and they were first together, she was like talking about always having her nails done so that she could be ready to take an engagement photo if he were to propose. So what has changed?
You know, I think it's completely fair that he wouldn't want to be on camera, wouldn't want to be part of the show. You know, like, that is not something that everyone is cut out for. And we've seen in lots of instances on our shows where people's partners didn't want to be part of it. I'm okay with that. I think the part that is driving a wedge, it seems, is that he's not part of the show, but is making her feel guilty. She's not putting more energy and time into him. And it's like, you need to consider this is her job right now. And yes, it's just documenting her real life, but the filming, I mean, I'm sure it takes it out of you. And like, you're around people all the time. Like, he needs to have, I think, just been better about this summer. We're not going to be hanging out, you know, and you're not going to be around as much. And I think the constant guilt tripping, but like, you could have been part of this, but you chose not to, which is fine. But then don't guilt trip her for doing it.
Yeah, it's unfair. I don't know. I mean, it would be a whole thing too. I would imagine he'd have to quarantine to come and do all this stuff, which, you know, granted, if it's someone you really care about, you should be willing to do it. But on the flip side, we have Dez, who I need your first impression of him, because he was very willing to do whatever it took to come to this house to see Hannah or be on a show. I'm not sure which one, maybe a little bit of both.
Well, they're engaged. So are you just so, you know, skeptical of the relationship? Or do you feel like that convinces you at all he's here for the right reasons?
I am skeptical for a couple reasons. I think the first one I mentioned last week is like white male comedian types. Like, just have my reservations, which I shouldn't generalize and whatever. I understand that. But for him to really jump at this opportunity to come see her at the house, it, you know, is this something that he is really interested in pursuing a serious relationship with her? Which now we know they're engaged. It seems that's pretty damn serious. But I don't know. What is your take? What was your first impression when he arrived?
When he first arrived, I thought he seemed very nice. And I thought that what Kyle said was spot on. Like, oh, wow, Hannah just wanted to fuck me, clearly, because she's dating my dad. I mean, they do look, there's a lot of similarities there.
Right.
Wow, is this the older version of me?
Hey, how are you, man?
Nice to meet you. Oh, my God. Hannah wanted to bang me this whole entire time. So now she's dating my dad.
But it got weird for me. You know, I totally get that they want to see each other and just jump on each other right away. I'm fine with that too. I didn't understand the need to go around the house talking in all the rooms, and particularly in Kyle and Amanda's bathroom, and then him being like, should I jerk off on Kyle's bed?
Should I jerk off on Kyle's bed?
And I was just like, ew, like, I don't know. There was something douchey.
Yeah, well, there was something immature about the whole thing. It's almost like
right.
when you're in high school or you're home from college and your parents are gone, so you invite your boyfriend over or your girlfriend and you're like, let's have sex everywhere because like we're free and nobody's here to stop us. So like I get the thrill of it all, but everyone's an adult. Like you're staying at a summer house that like people are sharing with their friends, and what does that do, having sex in Kyle and Amanda's bathroom, other than, you know, try to like claim power over someone? You know, like, I don't get it. I didn't get it either. It was just kind of weird to me.
But I will say, I also just don't, I think that maybe I'm just one of those people who doesn't find that a turn on necessarily.
Yeah.
Like, I get doing things in public, like the danger of it, but not like when clearly no one's going to catch you. You're just on someone else's bed. I would be more like, ugh, like, I don't know. That's just, it's not my vibe. Like, that's not what does it for me. So that was just confusing all around.
Do you think Kyle and Amanda learn this week watching the show in real time that happened?
I wanted to check his Twitter and see what his reaction was.
Yeah, I mean, it's cute to see them in their honeymoon phase, I guess, where they just like are all over each other and can't get enough. But it's a little much.
I also just found it to be a bit of a mistake for him and her not to go out on the boat with everyone.
Yeah.
You know, I just think that like, okay, if you're going to be part of the show, like if you're here, you need to be part of it. And it was interesting because that was my reaction. And then I saw in the next on them being like, we don't really know him because you don't really let us get to know him. And I was like, okay. So I wasn't totally off base. Like there was something odd about that choice.
Well, and to be fair, I don't think Hannah really knows him super well at this point either. They'd been on a handful of dates, at least two, based on when Dez is like, we didn't kiss on the first date, but then we had sex on the second. So they had at least a couple dates in person prior to her coming to the house. But most of their time together up until this point seems to be via DM, via FaceTime. So yeah, I mean, if you want to get to know him, I understand wanting to spend alone time with him, but you've also brought him to this house with all of your friends. So one of the best tests if you're in a new relationship is to see how he interacts with your friend group. And then you really get to see who they are as a person.
Yeah.
So put him to the test.
I didn't make this my thorn of the week, but my thorn of this episode for sure is Paige is a bad friend for telling Hannah that romper outfit was cute.
Oh my God.
Do you remember when Hannah walked in before Dez yes. came over and she's like, what does this say about me? And she's like, oh, I think it says you're fun and flirty. I was like, it says those shorts are not flattering. You need to take them off.
Yeah, I didn't love that look either. And I couldn't quite put my finger on why, but
it's also one of those outfits where, and I get this, like as a female, you have sort of your style and your a little bit uniform. And occasionally you're like, but could I be this type of person? And usually the answer is no, like you can't. So don't try.
There should be an app that's just like an honesty app where you upload a picture of your outfit or like yes. a hairstyle you're considering and somebody just gives you the hard truth.
Yes.
Maybe we're on to something here. I don't know.
I know.
I'm happy to be that person.
It's just us looking at the photo yeah. being like, ew.
Yeah, basically. Anyway, if you want our opinion on something, honest opinion, just send it to us.
Yes,
and we'll give you the honest opinion. Rose and Thorn?
Yes.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, what was your rose?
All right, so my rose is from Real Housewives of Dallas. And it was Carrie going off on this Bigfoot hunter guy because he, you know, that's why he's there. He supposedly saw Bigfoot. They're going to go hunt Bigfoot. But he was also just talking about hunting in general and how much he loves hunting. And Carrie sort of went off on him and like was like, yeah, you're pretty like I have no respect for you that you get a thrill out of doing that. And even though I do feel like it's slightly hypocritical, given the fact that she does eat meat, I also agree with it. Like, there's a difference between you eat meat to survive and you kill something because it makes you feel good. Like, that I just am not down with. And so even though it was like a drunken tirade that she later got in trouble for, I was kind of in agreement with her.
Why don't you give a f***ing animal a gun and then they're equals, mother
Carrie.
I'm only scared of you because you have a machete. It's like the same thing with your animals. How about if you kill an animal with your bare hands? Let's be equals.
You're 1,000,000% being rude.
Really?
Carrie.
He can kill animals. He can take my shit.
Carrie, you're not being funny right now. You're being rude. And you're better than that.
I don't care. I don't care.
You should care.
I'm not going to be nice. He kills animals.
Ethically, morally, like, I do agree with a lot of the things that she was saying. But when she was like, you have a small pee-pee, I was like, oh boy. I was like, now we've gone too far. And poor Charles, you know, I mean, this guy, like, I don't know, if I were sitting next to him at a bar, maybe we'd have a nice conversation. I have no idea. But, like, you know, we're not exposed to people like that very often here in New York. Mm-hmm. So I would still try to be respectful of him being in his territory or whatever. But yeah, I don't disagree with what Carrie was saying, but she could have handled it a little differently.
Right.
Well, also, I was going to say that I looked up on Wikipedia just like Bigfoot and like Bigfoot sightings, and I didn't see that there were any sightings ever recorded in Oklahoma specifically, so I wasn't totally buying that Charles saw Bigfoot when he was hunting, you know, 12 years ago or whatever it was.
Mm.
I'm just saying, there's been no recorded sightings of him there. It's been in other parts of the country, like I think the Pacific Northwest maybe, or other parts that are not Oklahoma.
You hear that, Charles? Eric is calling you a goddamn liar.
Not only are you a terrible person for hunting, but you're a liar.
What was your rose?
My rose was from Real Housewives of Atlanta, and it was watching Portia and Cynthia and even Kenya react to Biden's win, because I remember that feeling that day where there was just like this sense of relief. There was this moment that everyone, well, not everyone, but many people had collectively, that was just like a, you could kind of take a deep breath, you know? And that was
one of the best days in New York, I will say. Was, because I was like, well, I want to get out of the apartment now. Like, I'm so happy. I want to walk around the city. And it was just packed with people in the street celebrating. It was the best feeling.
Yeah. I mean, it was such a moment for all of us. And just seeing these Black women rejoice, you know, it hits them differently than it hits me or it hits you. So I understand, like, how I felt about it. So I can only imagine what they must have felt in that moment. And just, like, Cynthia had that long blonde wig. She looked so beautiful. And Portia was just so happy, smiling ear to ear. I was just like, oh, this is a good moment.
Yes.
Okay, what was your thorn?
My thorn was hands down Real Housewives of Dallas, Tiffany's umbrella hat. I totally understand sun protection and don't want to get those wrinkles. But my God, put on some SPF. Don't put on those big, ugly umbrella hats.
Also, how many did she have?
She had a few. And it's like, okay, Cameron, who is white as a ghost, wouldn't even wear that. You know what I mean? She just knows you got to put on your sunblock.
Would you prefer it if Tiffany just like carried like a chic umbrella with her, right? Like, that might be a better way to go about it.
I need some sun protection.
Are you going to wear that on your head?
I'm not going to wear it on my butt.
Ready?
That's so cute. Here.
Mock me now. When I have no wrinkles.
What was your thorn?
I mean, look, my thorn is this whole trip to Oklahoma on Dallas. Like, it just is not speaking to me in the way of Housewives, you know?
Right. It's not the glamorous trip you're used to, right?
Well, and it's one thing to see the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills go camping, because to watch like Erica Jane eat pie for breakfast in the morning in her like head to toe designer outfit, to see Denise Richards by a fire talking about getting her husband, a happy ending and everything, like, that is one thing. That was a whole experience. But this particular trip with this group of women and being in Oklahoma where it's camping, but it's kind of more at this cabin and the Charles of it all. I was just like, I'm not feeling this in the way that I want to be feeling it.
You know, everything is rose and thorn in terms of like the big moments of the week. I have one that's just sort of a, like, and that is on Below Deck Sailing Yacht that the charter guest proposed to his boyfriend, who was his daughter's boyfriend before.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
What? Mm-hmm.
Right. I know. In front of her.
So that's my meh of the week.
Yeah, that's definitely a meh for all of us. And we'll be back with an all new episode next week.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss me.